I'd like to say, first of all, it's a real privilege to be here tonight. Last night we had a real wonderful time, and we're back tonight. As far as I know, we probably will not be here tomorrow night unless the Lord deals with me. We're scheduled for three nights here in this building, but as far as I know, we'll probably be here just tonight, and this will probably be just last night and tonight. Sometimes I do that. As a matter of fact, most all the time, the different places we go, I never know how long I'm going to be there or whatever, and we just go in as the Lord says, and then we move on as the Lord tells us to move on. And let me say this to you right hurriedly here. I know that you're standing. You can be seated if you like and be a little more comfortable while you're listening in. Being here, you know, I'm no different from anybody else. Probably got more faults and failures that most people have, and have all kind of complications and situations that we have to cope with, you know. But our ministry has been, as you would say, unique to some people because we do things maybe a little bit different from some people. Appreciate you coming out to be with us tonight. There was quite a number of other people that wanted to be here, but there's some that's in revival in their churches. I don't know just exactly how it worked out that they were in revival at this time, but ordinarily they'd be here. Quite a number of them that comes to our meeting. But God knows what He's doing. He done whatever He saw fit here, and I'm well pleased with it. But as I said, our ministry is just a little unique. We try to move by the leading of the Spirit of God. As God directs our heart, as God tells us to go across the nation or the different parts of the world, we try our best to move just exactly to the best of our ability as He tells us to go. The Bible teaches that a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. And we try our very best to let God order our steps. So we're here. We had no idea we was going to come into this area. And we're here because God sent us here. And this has a real outstanding significance in us being here, even being in this building. Many times, and most of the times, I never mention it to the people. I do sometimes when I'm alone with a few of the brethren, I make mention of these things. You know, Jesus had one of the most unique ministries that any man ever had. Even though we know that He's the Savior, came for the purpose of bringing salvation, yet He had a ministry. He was a preacher of righteousness. And on numbers of occasions, He would do things that people didn't understand. And when His disciples would get with Him when He was alone by Himself, they would begin to inquire and they would begin to ask Him questions of why that He did what He did. And He said unto them, He said, "It is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." They said, "Why do you speak to these people in parables?" He said, "They don't understand what you're saying." And a lot of times preachers, you know, they preach in a parabolic way and people don't understand what they're saying. But said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" So they don't understand what you're saying. And Jesus said, "It is not given unto them to know, but unto you it is given." In secret, He would talk to them. He would explain things to them. He would tell them of the wonderful mysteries of God. In secret, He had said nothing to the extent that He had said the same thing to the other people. But as the prophet Jeremiah said, "Having eyes, ye see not. Having ears, ye hear not." He said, "Lest at any time ye should convert, understand, come to God. God save you." So they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. God had not given it to them. But the Bible says, speaking of they that are in this world, that they will not understand when good comes. And they shall not see when good comes. But the Bible said, Lucifer, even the god of this world, has blinded their eyes. That is, their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see. And having eyes, they see not. Having natural eyes to see natural things, they do not have spiritual eyes to see spiritual things. having natural ears to hear natural things, we do not have spiritual ears to hear spiritual things. But it is said, he that hath an ear, in the book of Revelation, John said, let him hear. If he hath an ear, if God has given him an ear to hear, then let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, people come, they come to church for many reasons. Some of them are sons and daughters of Satan. And they are very carnally minded. The Bible says you can tell a child by his doings. They do evil. They love the things of the world. They're gullible for the practices of the world. And they never really try to live right. They come to be critics and to find fault. And they're always saying things, you know, that's clear out of control because they're sons and daughters of Satan. But as it was said in the days of Job, when the children of God came, or that is to say, when those that came to present themselves before God, Satan came also. And Satan lives in human bodies just like God lives in human bodies. And when God's children come to present themselves before God as to the minister, Satan, he comes also. For the Bible tells that when the minister is speaking, it's not him that's speaking, but it's God that's speaking. And that it's God speaking from within his temple. And the Bible said, let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple. I will make all of the world come and kneel before you and know that I have loved you. The Bible said, God shall suddenly appear within his temple, whose temples ye are, as to be glorified within his saints. So, many times Jesus said things and people did not understand it. Though they understood as to know that they should repent of their sins, and they understood that they had done wrong and that they needed to get right with God. They understood that, but they did not understand what he was saying. And Jesus would say, why is it that you do not hear my voice? He said, because you're not my sheep. So when a preacher gets ready to preach, he gets up to preach and people hear the preacher so far as the natural sound and the oral expressions. But they do not hear the voice of the Spirit. Jesus said, because they are not God's sheep. And no matter where you go to preach, as a rule, you start preaching, and Satan usually, under the tent, wherever we preach, whether it's in an auditorium out on the street, it doesn't matter where we're preaching, Satan, as a rule, always sends somebody, always a man or a woman or some preacher with a few people from his church. Always he sends them. So that when you get about middle ways of your sermon, or you get along to where you're saying something that you have the minds of the people, up they go and out they go. You know, because the devil sent them there for one reason. And that's to throw cold water, as we say, in natural expression, on what you're doing. And stir everybody up and get everybody's attention and divide everything. And it makes it look bad on the preacher. Always he does that. There's hardly ever a congregation but what he does that. And he may do it tonight. I don't know. The other night we was under the tent preaching up in Canton. And I was real surprised. We only had one man in two nights to get up and go out. And I knew when he come in, you know, he'd be one of them kind. But strangely enough, he sat there till about the time I finished my sermon. And I don't take personal offerings. You couldn't give it to me if you had it. I don't care what size money it would be. I just don't take it. But I did say something there under the tent about giving the man an offering who owned the tent, because it takes money to set a tent. And up here, this fella, he went out, you know. You trample the wheat. The Old Testament speaks of it, especially in Israel. They would trample the wheat in harvest time, and they had winnowing fans that were blowing all around like these big fans. And winnowing fans. But usually it was with the hand. And as they trampled the wheat, the chaff would come up like that. And the winnowing fans would just shoo, like that, blow it away. And that's what happens, see, when we start preaching and trampling the wheat, all of a sudden the chaff comes up and the contrary wind just shoo, and out the door they go. So we expect that. We know it's going to happen and we expect it. A lot of times people might misunderstand something and they might go out. You know, and down the road the Lord will speak to them and they'll get their bearings and get turned around. In many instances, it's just because their heart is not right. They didn't come looking for the truth. They don't love the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They have their own way of life. They're self-sufficient. They're indoctrinated as to the end of all that they're going to accept. And they just come as children of Satan to spy out your liberties. So they can go out and gossip and say something about what you said and twist up what you said. Those people, their lives are usually short-lived. They get killed. Something happens to them. Or some bad disease comes upon them. And every case I've ever seen that I've been acquainted with that I could follow through, always they come to a bad end. But nevertheless, there is a devil. And that power is contrary to the Holy Spirit. And he works through the children of disobedience or through carnally minded people. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But he works through the carnal mind, and the Bible said those carnal minded people that abide in death. They abide in death, and the Bible says that they're living in trespasses and sin, and they are dead while they live. And some twice dead and plucked up by the root. And those carnal-minded people are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. Anytime he desires to use them, he starts talking to their mind. I'm going to say this and read just a little bit. I'm the kind of preacher that hardly ever has time to preach. Like Paul preaching all night, I say that so often. You know, it really takes a good little while to preach a sermon. So I just exhort a little bit and say a few things, and that's it. People are dull of hearing, and they don't hear much anyway. But I'm going to say this. I would like to be able to get into a few things for Christ to where it would benefit people as we travel around. But it's hardly ever that you get to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even back home at the church there, not too often I get to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. The atmosphere has to be right. People's minds have to be right. And when they're just right, God will bring forth a message from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we just preach a sermon, simple sermon like most people do, as to repentance, as to exhortation, as to tell the people of their sins and wrong, to bring them back to a conformity to the way of the Lord Jesus. Or we speak of the corruption that is in the government and the corruption that is in the schools and in the law and the different things with which we are acquainted to cause the people to be a little bit stimulated toward trying to do something for our society of today. And that's about the size of it. But I'd like to say this just before we read a little bit here. There are in the world three minds. These three minds that are in operation, working through human instrumentality or the human body or the brain. Only one brain, but there's three minds, and a mind is a life. It's an invisible life. You know, we don't like to believe in invisible things. We like to believe that people are fanatic that talk about invisible things. But nevertheless, the Bible said God is the invisible God. And when two or three gather together in His name, that invisible God is in the midst of us. And the Bible also speaks of angelic beings, that when we come together, that these angelic beings are in the midst of us. Though we may not see them, yet they are in the midst of them. And we don't like to believe in the invisible things. It makes us uncomfortable if we're natural-minded people. But there are fallen angels, which are demons and devils, evil spirits, that come into your midst. When people come together, devils and demons live in people. And they come into your midst, just like the holy angels that's made ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation and for them that are heirs of salvation. And as I say, we don't like to believe in the invisible things, but it is a true fact that the doctor says, hey, you got cancer, you don't see it, but that germ is there. And whether you like to accept it or not, sometimes it's terminal and it takes your life. And your life is short-lived because of some invisible thing, so far as your eyesight beholding in it. So it is in many cases. So I say this tonight, there are three invisible forces that you don't see that is ever with you. That is three minds. One of those minds is the mind of God. The other mind is the mind of Satan. And the other mind is the human mind. You don't see the human mind, and you don't see the mind of Christ, which is the mind of God. And you don't see the satanic mind, which is the mind of Lucifer. You don't see it. But it's there with you day and night. It never leaves. It's always there. And it is always, at all times, using your brain. One of the three minds is always using your brain. There isn't but one brain for them to use. And one of those powers are always using your brain. Like a person would sit down with a typewriter. And they're always using your brain. If you don't watch out, the wrong thing will come out of your mouth. The wrong thing. Somebody would say, well, bless God, God's with me. It won't come out of my mouth. God was with Peter. But when Peter said, nay, Lord, be it far from thee, Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. Because the wrong mind had used Peter's brain and his lips was giving off the wrong thing. So then, one of those powers at all time is using your mind. That is why the Bible tells us that we should not lean to our own understanding. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, are you trying to brainwash us? I wish I could. I'd bring a whole tub of whatever was needed. Because some folks have sure got a dirty mind. But it's not that easy. I can't brainwash it. The Lord, by the washing of the water of the Word, He washes your heart. And He washes your spirit. And then your brain is all right. So, with this, one of those powers is always in control of your body. Always. So the Bible said, don't lean to your own understanding. Now, why would God tell a human being not to lean to their own understanding? I would say, my God, if I can't lean to my own understanding, I'd be some kind of vegetable. You know, I gotta thank God, but He knows what He's doing. When He says something, He knows what He's doing. So He says, Brother Pike, or people, don't lean to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord, trust in God, trust in the Word. God is the Word. With all of your heart, understand the Word. Educate yourself with the Word, as the world would say. And trust in the Word of the Lord with all of your heart. Why would He say that? Because when you and I are born into this world, as to the first birth, we are born into sin. And Satan is in the bloodstream. And Satan is in the life. Because he got in through the weakness of Eve into the bloodstream. And he is there everywhere you go. Everything you think. You think you're thinking it on your own. And you think you're doing the things on your own. But it is Lucifer that loves the things of the flesh. You've got out of the presence of God. You're in the world and you're born into a sinful world. And Satan has got control of you. And Paul said, within your flesh there's no good thing. And he's eating you up like a canker worm. And you're interested in the world and the things of the world. And sports and prestige and money and powers and all of the things of the world. And he's literally eating you up. And it doesn't matter how nice you are or how talented you are or how rich you are or what kind of place you find in this world as to a career, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to be turned into the lake of fire unless you are born again. You're going to have to be born again. You're not going to take a change of heart and get into the kingdom of God. You're not going to join a church and get into the kingdom of God. We've got to realize that going to a hospital when we've got cancer, just putting our name on the roll and getting us a room doesn't do anything to cure us. There's got to be some kind of injection that'll go in there and fight off death. And folks, just coming to the church and putting your name on the roll isn't going to help you a bit. Telling the preacher that you feel better because you joined the church or he tells you such and such isn't going to help you a bit. There's going to have to be the power of the great Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Ghost to go on the inside of you and root out the corruption and take out the death and put life in you before you're ever going to be able to make that journey and inherit eternal life. So then I'm saying these few words as a foreword here as to what we might speak to you. A lot of people don't like the preacher to raise up his voice. They like for him to be calm and gentle and not speak too loud. And a lot of times there's a person in the audience that says, turn it down, trying to choke him out, you know. The world turns it up with the rock and roll, and they shout at the ball game, and they turn it up, but turn the preacher down. Turn him down, turn him off. And they don't like for the preacher to raise his voice, but the Bible says, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people of their sins. They don't like for you to tell them of their sins. They say, we are God's people and we belong to this church and we belong to that church and we have our name on the roll. And they don't like for the preacher to tell them about their sins. And they don't like for the preacher to talk about their church people having sins. And if you ever call the name Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, whatever you call, somebody says, bless God, there he goes talking about the churches and talking about people, and I don't believe in that. Well, bless your heart, you're going to hear a whole lot of it if you stay around me, because I believe in that. When Jesus said, Pharisees, Sadducees, he said, you hypocrites. Come on, folks. He said, you hypocrites, he called them by name. Pharisees and scribes, a name that you live but you're dead. So then when the preacher goes to preaching against these things, out goes the chair. Somebody says, bless God, bless God, bless God, and off they go. But you know, there's a lot of sin in the church of today. The churches of today are literally filled with sin. Paul spoke of it. He came up among the Jewish people, supposed to be the cream of the crop. And Paul said, you kill the prophets and you do all of these wicked things, said you kill the wise men. And Paul said, you're supposed to be the people of God and you have the law and none of you keep it. And Paul said, the judgments of God to the uttermost has come upon you people that call yourself the Jews. And God cast them out. And Paul said, you're not a Jew anyway. Said, he that is a Jew outward, there ain't no such thing. Said, he that is a Jew inward, he's the true Jew. So, as it happened to the Jews, it's happening to the Gentiles today. Now the word of God is coming to the Gentiles. I want to read just a little bit to you. A lot of things I'd like to say. I'd love to go into the great mysteries of God, into the deep mysteries of God. We've been privileged to receive them, and I'd love to go into the deep heavenly things of God. But we usually just speak a few simple things. But I would like for you to think on those things called the minds of God. Think on those things. I won't be here to say anything about it unless the Lord happens to bring around thought or two concern tonight. But think on that, and God will quicken some things to you. Now, as I said, people don't like for you to say anything about the sins of the church. They like for you to come to the house of God with them, and they like to shout and praise God and dance and have a good time, and for you to pray for the sick and you to heal their diseases and you to tell them how God loves them and how everything's going to be bright and brilliant and preach prosperity. And all these things are for the church, and they do the church, and they should have these things. But see, the devil, the tares, they love to jump up and down in the rain. They like the sunshine. And they all grow along together. And they all have their revival together. And they like to hear that preacher talk about them good things because they want them good things. But every now and then you have to start plucking up a few little things. And the Bible said every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted should be plucked up. Every heavenly plant shall remain. So we have to once in a while start purging, trimming up, getting out the old leaven, being new lump, withdrawing from the wrong things so that we can continue on with God. So the preacher, he has to come in once in a while, and he comes in, you know, and they say, here comes that God of love. Here he comes, that preacher. He comes. About that time, he pops the whip, and he turns over the money tables, and everything is scattered every which way. And they say, oh my God, what happened to that God of love? I know God is love, they say. Sure is, even with the whip and turning over money tables. Just as loving as he can be. He's just as loving when he pops the lightning and rolls the thunder and turns the mountains upside down and shakes the stars out of heaven. He's still the God of love. You say, well, why is he doing that, Brother Pike, if he's the God of love? Because he loves his children so much that he's going to shake the stars down on the head of the wicked and dump you over into a lake of fire. He's showing his love for his people. So the rain comes on the just and the unjust, but someday we're going to move out of this era of grace and God is going to burn the fields of the wicked. So I'm going to read this tonight to you. Say a few things to you. I'll try not to hold you long if you'll bear with me. Jesus said to the disciples and to the Jews one time, he said, ye think ye have eternal life. I say that to you tonight. Many of you that hear my voice think you have eternal life. And I say that because this goes on radio too. These tapes and messages go out to hundreds and thousands of people. You that hear me, you think you have eternal life. But Jesus said to those Jews, said, you need to search the scriptures, which was the Old Testament, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, but those scriptures testify of me. Said, these are they that testify of me. Go back and search those scriptures and you'll find that these scriptures testify of me. And so it is today when we think about people, the ones that really love God are those that testify of him. So reading the old scripture here and reading the book of Jeremiah as to the prophets that testified of him, I want to read just a little bit here, and I want you to bear with me as I read just a little bit here. Reading from the book of Jeremiah and a reading from the 5th chapter in the 19th verse. And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us, then shalt thou answer them like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual degree, but it cannot pass it? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. This people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set his snares. They set a trap, they catch men, as a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yea, they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. I want you to notice this. It says in the 13th verse, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. I will make my word or in thy mouth fire, and the people would, and it shall devour them. If you'll notice, he said, among my people are found wicked men. I wonder tonight if among these people that are hearing my voice that there could be some wicked men. I wonder if there could be some wicked men. there surely is some wicked men among them. They are in the church. They are preachers. They are deacons. They are in the church, wicked men that are in the laity. They are wicked men. They go to church for social purposes. They go to church for prestigious purposes. They go to church to soothe their conscience. They are not God men. They are wicked men. And they're not among the world. They are among the people of God. Wicked men. And he says here, the bad thing about it is that the people in the church, they don't want you to say anything about it. There are wicked men in the church, but a lot of those wicked men give a lot of money to the church. And they help to build the big cathedrals, and they carry on the parties and the frolics. And they've got prestige that gives the church across the hill a little prestige as to the upper echelon of life. And so then he said, my people love to have it like that. They like that prestige. They don't like to be put down. They don't like to be called holy rollers. They don't like for people to speak against them. But nevertheless, the Bible said, woe unto that people or that prophet that everybody speaks well of. For they did that to the false ones. And the Bible says, when they say all manner of evil against you, falsely, for my name's sake, then leap for joy. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. But people doesn't like that. And the Bible said, my people like to have it so, that though the wicked men is in their midst, they like to have that way. And they don't want anybody to ripple the waters. And they don't want anybody to come around and say anything about it. Because they like to have it that way. It's like a statesman I talked with last night. And I talked with another one today. I'm always running into them. He said, you know, things ain't right, preacher, like you said. He said, but the people don't want to change. He said, they're hard-hearted and they don't want to change it. Though they know it's wrong in the political world or wherever. They know that it's wrong. But see, they're living it up. They've got new cars. They're living on credit. They're eating. They're having a good time, and they don't want anybody to ripple the water. But after a while, they're going to find out what a superficial life it is and a superficial world it is. And they're going to find out, as the Bible said, he that don't work, neither shall he eat. God is going to bring some men to face some situations, whether it's in the political world or whether it's in the church world. Pardon my expression when I say this, but a lot of preachers is like a fat, lazy whale that lays around in the water and feeds off of everything else. You can say amen. What are they doing? They're taking advantage of the people. And they won't preach the right thing, like one told me when I told him to preach the right thing. He said, if I preach that, I'd lose half of my congregation. They don't want to divide between the sheep and the goat. They don't want to do away with wrong. The wicked people are there. They're in the midst of the people. The wicked men are there. But he said, my people love to have it so. So then, that means that is the reason why that you find out that the prophets are like the wind. They are like the wind. They're very windy. They're like the wind. They say a lot of things, a lot of good things, as we would say. And they're like the wind. But they don't have the word of God in their mouth. Because the word of God is like fire. It's like fire. The word of God is like fire. And it defiles the stubble. And God said to the preacher, I'm laying a foundation, and other foundations can't be laid. And he said to the preacher, he said, take heed how that you build thereupon, for the day is going to try your works. I'm going to put it to the test. And if you build hay and stubble on this foundation, the fire that's coming is going to devour your works. So he says to Brother Pike, be sure that you say the right thing. And be sure that you preach the right thing.
And when you speak to my people, be sure that it's the word of God. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a bad situation to mess with the human mind. Did you know that? When you go out here as an individual and you take a young girl and you molest her and you steal the virtues of her life, you can go to the electric chair for that. In some places, that's a death penalty. That's a bad situation because she's put in this world to be a decent, upright person, to be a mother and multiply and replenish the earth according to godliness. And you can lose your life. And see, there is a virgin heart. There is a heart of virginity that God has put here for none other reason than for His own multiplying and replenishing the earth, as to bring forth sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And to mess with the human mind and to talk with the human mind and to poison the human mind or to pollute a human mind, to bring forth a proselyte. The Bible said twofold more the child of hell. To mess with that human mind will cause you to be brought into the great court of God one day. Into the great court of God, you'll stand there in the supreme court of God. Because you mess with the human mind and you wasn't called to do it, neither are you married unto it as the body of God or as the voice of God. Neither is it yours. It is the body of Christ. It is the virgin body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have any business messing with that mind. Let me tell you something, folks. I know that out in the world there's nothing but a bunch of hippies and dope addicts out there. I know that. I travel all over the world. I know they're out there. And I know they don't need to be like that. And I have to preach against it because it's debauchery, it's evil, it's corruption. But on the other hand, a lot of those fellows are better off than a lot of church members. Because as the Bible said, the drunkard and the harlot said, I won't go. And they went out in the world and they doped it up and they hippied it up, as we said, I have said. And they said, I won't go. But the church people was very churchy, very religious. And they said, I will go. But Jesus gave a parable. He said, a son said, I won't go. He repented and did go. And another son said, just the opposite. I will go, but he didn't go. And Jesus said, now, which one of these boys did the will of their father? And he said, it's the same way with you. The drunkards and the harlots that went out there, they threw their lives away and they've done the things that's wrong. But many of them are repenting. Many of them are sorry. Many of them have seen the way of debauchery. They realize what a fool they've been. And they are repentant of their sins and they're turning to God. And some of them are becoming respect people and they're becoming great and mighty men. Some of them are moving into the eras of the government and some of them are making great preachers. While the world puts them down and the world frowns on them and the church world finds fault with them. Many of the church world are dogs and pigs, Jesus said. He said the old sow that's been washed by the grace of God and the things of God. And the old sow has been washed and God washed her up. But she went back to her wallowing in the mire. Why? Because she was a pig. She was a sow, though churchy, yet went back. Jesus said, Pharisees, scribes, he said they're hypocrites. He said to some of them, said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He said, you know these things and then you don't do these things. And instead of preaching the commandments of God, he said, you preach for doctrine the commandments of men, laying aside the things of God. He said, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? He said, you generation of vipers, you blind gods that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I was talking today to a statesman. I was talking with him and I said to him, I said, look, you know that we're not going to have a decent government until we get God back into it. I said, men like Washington and Abraham Lincoln and the others that gave us the faith of our fathers that established a democracy and the separation of church and state. Now, folks, the church, the state pounces on the church, takes control of the church, does what he wants to with the church. I said, you know that there isn't going to be any peace in any government until we get back to God. He said, every day that we're in the place of legislation, there in the White House or whatever, he went on to point out. Said, we always open our session with prayer. I said, I know that. Like the Bible said, blind guides that strain at a net and swallow a camel. I said, sure, that's what they do. But when it comes to the school, I said, they don't let you say prayer in school. I said, you say it in Washington, you open up with it there. See, a hypocritical sort of a thing. But when it comes to school, comes to our children, nay, away with that. We can't do that. Why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? I said, why can't we do that? I said, does that make any kind of sense? And it shocked him. I said, does that make any kind of sense? He said, well, I'm for what you say. He said, I'm for what you say. But he took courage and he said, but what about the God Allah? What about these other gods? He said, I don't want my child sitting in school and these people praising their paganistic gods. Come on, folks. Blind guides that strain at a net and swallow a camel. Just like Jesus said in the day that he walked there in the Holy Land or in Jerusalem. He said, I don't want my children listening to that kind of prayer. And so then that took care of it. That was why they passed the law the way they did. I placed my hand on him and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you look like a congenial person and look like that in your home you would have some liberties and have a liberality. He said, of course. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, how far do you go with your liberalities? I said, do you let a man come in and molest your family and mistreat your family? He said, of course not. I said, why? Because you have restrictions? He said, I have restrictions. I said, that's the way it is with America. I said, we are Americans. We love God. We're Christian people. And God is our God, is Christ Jesus. I said, and we need some restrictions. And he turned and looked at me. He said, you're right. He said, we need restrictions. I said, I don't disagree with Mr. Roosevelt to the extent that he was liberal and reached out around the world to unite the nations and to try to bring strength and peace. I said, but when it comes to God, I said, in them letting everything come in here and do any way they want to do, this is our home. This is our homeland. If we can have some restrictions in our house for our children, we ought to have enough sense, folks, to come together and have some restrictions in our homeland. Somebody said, well, that's different. Let me ask you how different it is. The man comes into your house, do you put him out? Sure you do. You're not going to let him pollute your home. Well, what about the yard? He can drink all he wants to in your yard and kill all he wants to in your yard and do all the ugly things he wants to out there in front of your family. You know better than that. You know better than that. You're not going to allow that, and I'm not going to allow that either. Somebody said, well, to be godlike, you'll have to. To be godlike, you'll turn over some tables and pop some whips and send some people on their way. That's to be godlike. So then, what do? Let the house of God be run over with anything. And let some paganistic people come in here and do any way they want to in America. And we call that liberty. We call that freedom. We say we believe in democracy, Brother Pike. If that's so, why do you get so upset when a man slits a man's throat? Why do you get so upset when a man goes through the window and molests some woman or kills some child? Why get upset? We're the land of democracy. We believe in freedom. Let them do what they want to. Why do you get upset with those people taking dope out yonder? Why do you want to be so hard on the dope peddlers? Why do you want to be so hard on the ones that's taking dope? This is America. This is the land of freedom. Let them do what they want to do. You know that don't make sense. You don't make no sense with that. It's getting to where men don't want to go into the armed forces to fight for America because they're so confused they don't know what they're fighting for. So then there are wicked men among my people. But my people like to have it so. And the legislator said, he said, the people are stubborn. Said they're hard. He said they don't want to change it. Folks, I'm telling you, God's going to change it. God is going to make a change. Whether you make a change or not, God is going to make a change. He's going to make a change in you, and he's going to make a change in me, and he's going to make a change in the world. God is going to change things. I said last night, it's a sad situation, just coming back from Israel, going along the streets in the cities and seeing the young men walk around with the guns on their back. That was a sad situation. But when I looked and saw young women intermingling with the soldiers in every way, and them walking around with guns on their back, I made the statement, I said, Israel, what do you got to protect? Come on, folks. Why have them to walk around with guns on their back? What have you got to protect? Your women turn into harlots? What are you protecting? Your daughters turn into harlots? Your sons turn into whoremongers and dope peddlers? What have you got to protect? Somebody says, well, I got my heritage. What kind of heritage? To protect a piece of ground out here? Ain't nobody going to hurt it anyway. To protect what you call your democracy? Is that your democracy? Like the statesman again said, we feel that democracy is the lowest form of government that you could have. Come on, folks. I said, that's what your statesmen think about it. Said, but the only thing is, it's so much better than what the world has got that we hold to it. I think God's got a better thing, don't you? You know, the problem is, I've said this, and a lot of people get upset about it. I may lose some folks tonight. But where the mistake is they've got a government that's of the people and for the people and by the people, and that ain't what they need. Oh, somebody says, you're crazy. Oh, no, I'm not crazy. The Bible said all things was made for God, for him, for the Lord Jesus Christ. All things is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said all things consist by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the government is of God, by God, and for God. And as long as you got a bunch of reprobate people that's in this world that don't love God and don't serve God, and you make a government of the people and for the people and by the people, you're going to have corruption. When men like George Washington that loved God, that prayed for holiness, sat down and they come up with a government of God, they said for the people and by the people, and they said in God we do trust. They set up their government. And they said the church is separated from the government to do what it feels to do or needs to do for God. And in that church we trust. What do they trust in now? See, in God we trust. When you got people that love God, when you got people that care for God, when you got people as it was in the early times of the forefathers and those mothers of the faith, people that fled from the old country to come here to start a new world like they did in America. When you've got people that can do that, people that's got the backbone to stand up against corrupt government and start another government. When you got people that will do that, those are God-minded people. Those are conscientious people. Those are people that's concerned about something that's fit to be concerned about. You can say a government of the people and by the people and for the people. Because when you got a Christian, you've got a government that comes out of the heart of God. And that person that says it is for the people and of the people and by the people are saying God on the inside has inspired my heart to be concerned about humanity. And you've got a good government. But when you let the devil in and everybody becomes reprobate, and then you let a bunch of intellectual reprobate minds rule in the government over the people, you've got nothing but the devil himself. He savors the things that be of the flesh and of the world. So then, what can we say? What can we do? Here's what the Constitution says. The Constitution says that if at any time the government or a government is proven to be corrupt, it is the duty of the people to condemn it and start a new government. That's what our government says. That's what our Constitution says. And that's what God is going to do. God is going to condemn it and start a new government. And the Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulder. It will be of God. It will be for God's people. And God will do away with all of the rest of them. Come on, folks. Did you know Israel has got enough sense to do one thing? Israel has got enough sense to do one thing. They've got a government, a form of government. You don't go to Israel and get into their government. Even the Arabs that live among the Hebrews and people that was born in that land, they have no part in parliament as to government except under strict supervision of the Hebrews. And you can't even join the army. They let you volunteer. But you can't even join the army. You know why? Because they've got a government that they don't want infiltrated, and they intend to protect their homeland, and they intend to have control. And if America had had the right kind of understanding, as Washington and the different ones did when they pulled away from the old country, they'd have kept this thing clean, and they'd have let the Christians serve God and let the Christians been in control. And if anybody else come into America, they'd had to be under the restrictions and rulership of the Christians. I'm talking about God, people. And one day Jesus is going to do just exactly that. He's going to bring in the millennium. If I go into your home, I go into your family, I go into your laws, I go into your control, and while I'm in your house, I do the way that you want me to do, to the extent that that's the laws and rules of your home, and if I don't want to do that, let me go back to where I came from. You love the Lord? I think democracy and freedom can be just as much a democratic thing and just as much a freedom thing, that when they come into this country, those paganistic people, if they want to convert and become Christians, then they can come into the house of God. Then they can get into parliament. Then they can be part of the government. But to come in with their paganistic practices and come up in before God and to worship idols, when the Bible said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," and when God told Joshua and the others, said, "All of these people, when you go into their land, you don't bother anything they've got and you destroy their idols, because all of this is a curse. And if you spare any of them, they're going to be pricks in your side." And sure enough, Joshua and some of them decided they didn't want to do the work, and they wanted somebody to clear the wood. And so they got them in as servants, and they never got rid of them. They've never even until today got rid of them. The Holy Land is filled with those kind of people. And he said they'll become pricks in your side, and that's exactly what America has done. I don't believe in worship and paganistic gods. And I don't believe in making provisions for it. God took Solomon down off of the throne, and God brought about the disaster of Solomon because he said, "You have let those women turn your heart away from God to the paganistic gods of this world." And in 975 BC, God took the kingdom away from him, split up the kingdom between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and the whole thing by 721 had fell down into Babylon, including Judah. That is, the 10 tribes went away into Assyria. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we're going to serve God, whether it's politically or whether it's as to a natural thing or whatever it is, we're going to have to conform to the laws of God and the ways of God and the desires of God and be God's people and be called by God's name. And God then is going to take care of us. And if we don't do that, beloved friend, God is going to reject us as a reprobate and put us out. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, this thing of rising up, every time a preacher or some wise man or somebody that loves righteousness or right things, whether it be a statesman, preacher, whatever, this thing of people rising up and condemning and killing and saying, "I don't believe in that and I don't believe in this." You know, it doesn't matter what you believe in. What's that got to do with it? Somebody says, "I don't believe it that way. I believe it this way, Brother Pike." What's that got to do with it? Who cares what you believe? We're talking about God that created heaven and earth, and God that created you and I, and God that gave his doctrine and told me and you to walk in it and honor him, that he's going to clean the world and everything that's unlike him and put them in a lake of fire and rain fire and brimstone down upon the head of the wicked, just exactly like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. I was over there not too long ago looking at the site. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to close. What difference does it make what you think? I made this statement last night. I want to make it again. I make it frequently. An article came out into the paper, in the news medias, and it said all of the different faiths of the world is coming together. I disputed it. I said that cannot be. There will never be such a day. There is no such thing as all faith. The Bible said one faith, one God, one baptism, and that's all there is. I said all of the people of the faith can come together. Of the faith that cometh by the hearing of the word of God. I said all of them can come together, but there's no such thing as faith of all the world coming together. Those paganistic practices, those people might believe in those gods as Allah and all of those other things. We meet with them in the foreign field. We have them converted over to Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, there's only one God. There's only one way. That's the God that created heaven and earth. The great, wonderful God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh, came and dwelt among us. And we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let me tell you something, folks. All these people that go around, I said this last night, that go around saying, I can't preach doctrine. I don't preach doctrine. Don't you know that them men are after your pocketbook? Don't you know that they haven't got anything from God? When the Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? They that are weaned from the breast. And when the writer over here said, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath Christ, and he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he doesn't have God. And the Bible said that the apostolic doctrine, they continued in it steadfastly. 3,000 of them added to the church, the first church and the only church. And they steadfastly continued in the apostolic teachings. We need to wake up. The devil, with every wind of doctrine, every little thing, is just tossing the church world to and fro. But we need to wake up, and we need to rise up as men and women of soberness and of godliness and put our foot down, as we say, to say, this is the way it's going to be, and there isn't anything that's going to change me. I'm going to be according to the Word, and I'm going to speak the Word and abide in the Word and teach the Word, and it doesn't matter what anybody says about what they believe or don't believe or like or don't like, that we're going to do it anyway. God said do it. Who are they to tell me they don't like it? Who are they to tell me it isn't right? God said it. When Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it is unto you and your children, and to as many as be afar off, even over here in our day, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And somebody says, I don't believe it. I don't like it. It's like that. Who is he to do that? Who would be so foolish as to have stood up on the day of Pentecost and Peter with the keys to the kingdom, opening the kingdom to the Gentiles and to the Jews? There at Cornelius says, and then on Pentecost, and somebody looked, stand up and say, Peter, I don't believe that. We ain't going to have it that way. Let me tell you something, folks. Even Peter got an error on one occasion, and he failed to go to the Word, and a man by the name of Paul come along and said, Peter, it's just like it was when God gave it to you to start with. Ain't no changes. And Paul said, and I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. And he said to the people, said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ Jesus evidently has been set forth and was crucified? He said, if righteousness come by the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain because we already had the law. And he said, if what you're teaching is right, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews, Peter, when you're living like the Gentiles? What's the matter with you, Peter? But you know, they get that old feeling, they'll put me out of the Methodist, and they'll put me out of the Baptist, and they'll put me out of the Pentecostal, and they'll put me out of the Presbyterian, and they'll put me out of the Charismatic Order, and they'll put me out of this, and they'll put me out of that. Folks, we don't need to be called Baptists. I said this last night, we don't need to be called Methodists. We don't need to be called Catholics, and we don't need to be called Charismatic. We need to be called Christians. The Bible said they were Christ-like at Antioch. And the first time that the people saw that, they called them Christ-like Christians. We are Christians. If you want to go to the Methodist church, I don't care. My daddy was Methodist. If you want to go to the Baptist church, it's all right. When I married my wife, she was Baptist. If you want to go to the Pentecostal church, that's all right. My mother believed in the Pentecostal church. She wasn't very active, but she believed in it. Well, let me tell you something. I believe great men like Martin Luther come out of the Catholic church that started the Reformation as to the Protestant church in which you believe, Methodist, Baptist, or whatever. But folks, if you want to go to those churches, I have no objection. Except for one thing. If your preacher don't preach the word, then if you go there, you are a bastard child. You're not a child of the Heavenly Father, or you'd get out of that place and you'd leave that stuff alone. But if you can get your preacher to preach the word, and get your preacher to do right. And I've seen some Methodists filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've seen some Baptists filled with the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, one of them was talking to you just a little bit ago. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was a Baptist preacher. Well, I said we'd do it before it was over. And we done it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Got to be like that. I want to repeat it to let you know what I'm saying. We don't need to be called Baptists, and we don't need to be called Methodists. We need to be called Christians. And we don't need to conform to some church order. We need to conform to the Word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So, when it comes to getting your preacher to live right, it's just like I said a while ago. Many of the people don't want the preacher to live right. Because as Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and his will you're going to do. You're going to run around with your shorts, your bathing suits, run around painted up like a Jezebel, and you're going to run around to the ball games and the frolics of the world. When the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of God isn't in you. The world loves its own. That's why you don't want your Methodist preacher and your Baptist preacher and your Pentecostal preachers to change. You love to have it that way because you love the world, because you've got the devil in you. They said to Jesus, said, you've got a devil. He said, I haven't got a devil. He said, I'm doing the will of my Father. He said, but let me tell you, you're the children of the devil. He said, and his lust you'll do. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, that's the way it is, folks. If people love God and if people love righteousness, they'll do right. If not, I don't care what you tell them. It doesn't make any difference. They're going after the things of the world and they're going after the things that are lustful. And they're going to continue to do that no matter what you say about it. Somebody say hallelujah. So it's good to be here tonight. It's good to talk with you tonight. Good to say these things. And what's good for one is good for the other. If Peter said to repent of your sins, and if that was good for the people then, it's good for the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and the non-denominationals and all of the rest today. It's good for the television evangelists. It's good for the radio evangelists. They need to repent of their sins. They need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they need to be filled with God's Holy Ghost and stand up like a man ought to stand up, whether on television or whatever, and tell the truth, and stop confusing the people, and stop causing the problems. And the people need to stand up and get those things out of Parliament, and get it out of the White House, and get it out of America, and stand up for God. I know they're not going to do it. I know that. They've gone so far, but I do know one thing. The people of God are going to rise up and they're going to take the kingdoms of this world. I mean the kingdoms of this world. They've already got the kingdom of God within them, as Jimmy said. If they're going to take the kingdoms of this world, and they're going to bring righteousness in. And God is going to make them rule over all the earth. And he's going to make the earth break forth with singings and blessings. And the great millennium earth is coming in. And all this other garbage that's called government is going to be pushed off. He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. That is, you're lukewarm. I've spewed you out of my mouth. So then only the people of God will survive the crisis. Let's stand up. It don't make no difference whether the others like it or don't like it. Let's stand up for God. That's right. Get up. I was going to ask you to stand up. Let's stand up for God. And it don't matter whether the others like it or don't like it. It doesn't matter. What difference does it make? Some little old puny nobody like that silly woman that went up yonder to the White House and got them to put prayer out of school. I made the statement last night. Her son had more sense than those legislative powers because her son stood up against the mother and said something was wrong with the woman to do a crazy thing like that. And we call that legislative powers. Folks, we need to pray for them that are in power and pray that God will put somebody in there that's a real statesman and somebody in there that's a real dignitary and help us get the conglomeration of a mess out of the White House so that we can have the right thing. I love you and I appreciate you. The Bible said, though we be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, sometimes our speech is rude. And people don't like to hear it. But nevertheless, we're not rude in knowledge. We know exactly what we're saying, and as Paul said, what we're doing. I thank God for you tonight. I trust that these things will be imprinted upon your mind and in your heart, and that you'll go away thinking these things over. And when somebody comes to you and says, well, I don't believe in that, and I don't like that, you say, look, you hypocrite, I don't want to talk with you. I slapped a bug and hit the mic. Just say, you hypocrite, I don't want to talk with you. Because let me tell you something, folks, and you listen to me. Anybody that will come around, take the Word of God after we've made it so plain as it is tonight, and talk to you about their little old puny likes and dislikes and what they want and don't want, you don't need to listen to anybody that is so small in their concept as to take such a silly outlook. You need to tell them to shut up, and you need, the Bible said, if you perceive there's no understanding in a man to go from him, you need to get away from them until they can get their system washed out and then sit down and talk to you like a man and woman ought to do, or a brother and sister ought to do. And you need to get rid of that old critical devil that you've got and help them to get rid of that old critical devil they've got and do away with that thing and come together and form a church for the living God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, well, you just don't know my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife. You don't know my daddy, my mother. I know all about that. I've been able to lead my daddy, my mother, my brother, my sister, my wife, and all of them to an experience in God, believe it or not, every one of them. And we had a big family. All of my children, I've been able to lead them to an experience in God. And I had to wrestle against the reprobate minds that they had. So I know exactly what's going on. All right, let's sing a little course together. Where the problem is, beloved friend, there are preachers running across the world, like I said a little bit ago. And they don't know their left hand from their right. And they're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. And they are prophesying of the wind, and the word of God ain't in them. And they have some idea, some thought, some inclination of their own self-will and what they think it is and what they want. And they are perverting whole households and they're causing problems. And someday down the road, God will lay the axe to the root of the tree and cut them down and leave them laying there. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. So you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference. So when people come with their ideology and their foolishness of what they think it ought to be, you just push them aside, push the mud aside, and go right on. I'm going to say this in closing. When I was a little boy, I used to have to go down into the woods to get my water. I had to walk down the hill to a spring. Beautiful little spring. But when I would get there, it would be all covered over with mud and leaves from the fallen trees. And I would have to take my bucket and I'd have to dip way down past all of that and then come up real quick with my bucket and the water would just wash all of that away and I'd come out with a fresh bucket of water. And when you dip down low enough and deep enough to get your bucket full and you come out of there like you mean business, a lot of these people that are crowding you and a lot of the foolishness of your mind and other people, they'll get away from you and they'll leave you alone and you'll find that you'll have a good, fresh bucket of water. All right, let's sing together, friends. I love you. I thank God for you. I say these things to you very plainly because, like the statesman said, the people are hard-hearted. They don't want to change it. And I have the blood on my hand until I've delivered it. Paul preached to them.
The Bible said, as many as were foreordained unto eternal life believed. And the rest of them did not. They fought Paul and they killed Paul. But them that had their name on the book of life, as to the foreordination, they believed when he preached. Paul shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own head. And he went to preach to another people. So then the preacher is going to have to preach to deliver his soul and to get the blood off of his hands tonight. As to them that hear my voice, I preach to you. I told you the truth. Now the blood is off of my hands. The blood be upon your own head. If you don't listen to the Word of God and accept the Word of God, you pass out a tract, they may throw it in the garbage, but your job is done. The gospel has gone to that creature, and the judgments will find it. I've taken a little long tonight, forgive me. I didn't mean to. But I felt like saying these few things.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sing it with me. Oh, my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul.
Can you sing it with me, folks?
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. It may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe.
Can you sing it with me?
Evermore. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Evermore.
While she's playing on the organ, the altars are open. I'd like for you to come and stand around with me. We won't be here tomorrow night. Going on up the trail, supposed to preach somewhere in the morning. And I'd like for you to come and stand around the altar tonight. If you love the Lord, if you're looking for something from God, if you've never made the great commitment to God, if you've never surrendered your heart and your soul to Christ, the Bible says, I am persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that great day. Folks, don't be alarmed. A lot of times you may plant a seed today, and it might be many days before it ever comes up. You know, a seed just doesn't go into the ground and just come up overnight. Sometimes it takes some waiting. It takes some cultivation. It takes a little bit of concern. You've got to throw the seed out and then trust in God. And after a while, you'll see a little blade push its head up, Brother Jerry. And then you'll see a blossom come forth. And my, what a harvest you'll have. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. So then, Jesus said, the harvest is ripe. The laborers are few, but the harvest is ripe. And God is getting us ready. Everything is just ready now. Just right. And all we got to do is love Jesus. Let's lift our hands up and love Him. Can you do that tonight? If you love Jesus, lift your hands up tonight. And let's tell the Lord how much we love Him.
Can you lift your hands up tonight and love Him? Can you do that? Let's sing this little chorus together while our eyes are closed and our hands are lifted up. We sing this quite often. I don't want a gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. Oh, to me, He's everything. Can you sing it with me? We don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus. Oh, to me, He's my everything. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I don't want. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and lift our hands up. Can we say that with all of our heart tonight? We just want Jesus. Hallelujah. Just want Jesus.